Chapter 3.
Report of Nageo Jaoliolo, third level synaptic adjudicator of Nagi Synchronous Collective 45978. Direct cranial engagement interrogation. Subject? Gueron Shah of semi-autonomous Imperial Uasho Raven Guard. Teovre 6. Kaui 3. Supplementary note. The nature of the Space Marines is well known to us, but we of the Nagi 45978 Synchronous Collective were surprised by this subject's resilience to the mind rip, nevertheless. We have ascertained that this is partly owing to the latent capability to interface with multiple-dimensional realities present in all Gwela to lesser or greater degree, but the greater part of our difficulty originated from the subject's extensive psychological conditioning. The requisitioning of two lesser collectives was required to break through the subject's mental blocks. Despite our overwhelming mental superiority, the subject remained defiant to the end, resulting in the deaths or terminal disjunction of all members of one of the lesser collectives. May they find ultimate joining beyond the membranes of activity. Many memory artifacts are present in this interrogation report, but we were able to extract much audiovisual information concerning Imperial Gwela tactics and organization. That they are so heavily factionalized was the chief surprise to our watercast and Ndimi intelligence experts. We Nagi humbly submit that this is encouraging news. Surely so divided and decrepit an empire, no matter its size, cannot hope to stymie the efforts of the glorious Tau Va in this critical phase of the Third Sphere expansion.
I am Brother Sergeant Herrick Cornix of the Raven Guard. I am Brother Sergeant Herrick Cornix of the Raven Guard. I'm aboard the Wings of Deliverance. I go to a meeting with my chapter master, Corvin Severax, my lord and my leader. I would do anything should he command it. I am not aboard the Wings of Deliverance. This is a trick. Get out of my mind. Get out. Get out. I am Brother Sergeant Herrick Cornix of the Raven Guard, and you will not break my will.
At this point, more pressure was applied. Earth cast enhancement machines were engaged in greater number. Several of them burned out, killing a full half of the lesser second collective before we were able to break into the inner spaces of the subject's mind.
I am aboard the Wings of Deliverance. We are in orbit around Hive World Agrelin, the principal planet of the Dovar system. Far from the sacred grounds of Terra, yet strategic, for it commands the Dovar Gap through the Damocles Gulf. Xenos contest it, and their temerity will not go unpunished. We of the Raven Guard come here to mete out such punishment as we deem fit. The battle barge rumbles with repeated broadsides and weapons impact. Enemy rounds penetrate our void shields every so often, but so vast is the Wings of Deliverance that it is untroubled and sails on. I am Herrick Cornix, and I go to see my lord. We are arrived but lately in the system, and I am called into his presence first. This is an honour. I wear my armour. This is right. Sable, emblazoned with the white emblems of my order. It is newly repainted with the badges of my deeds and rank, and freshly polished. We are at war. We must be ready at all times. It is said by the Shadow Captains that the enemy we fight has a degree of honour uncommon in Xenos, but they are likely to give us fair warning before attacking in order to offer us terms. But this is our way, all done in accordance with the Codex Astartes. We stand ready at all times. I pass through the great spinal way of the Wings of Deliverance. The blast shields are closed. But as I ride the transit way to the bridge complex, I see Agrelin below us through one open, spotting cupola. It is a vile planet, tainted by long-ago war. Its atmosphere is poison to human beings, its forests grim places full of mutated wildlife. The lingering effects of a virus bomb, I'm told, and something darker. Weapons fire sparkles around it as our picket ships duel with Tau interdiction vessels. We've taken them by surprise. Elements of the first reinforcement fleet are hurrying to our aid from out-system, but the Tau are many, and although our might is such that we can hold them back, quick judgment suggests that we cannot do so indefinitely. I wonder, therefore, what our strategy will be. I am proud that I, before all others, will discover exactly what Lord Severax has planned. I reach the support block bearing the bridge complex. I am allowed through by our chapter master's honor guard. The atrium is vast and pleasing to the eye. Statues of heroes of our chapter stand in solemn repose in the shadows. Their names are mysterious, known only to those who should know. This is as it should be. Ours is the way of the Shadow War. I'm directed by servitors to one of many grand elevators. The doors, decorated with great skill by our serf artisans, are inlaid with jet and polished coal, depicting a great raven, head down and wings crossed across its breast. Now I near the presence of my lord, my hearts quicken. Few are invited into the presence of Lord Severax, but I, Herrick Cornix, have been granted this honour. Whatever the reason, I swear that I will prove worthy of the task set me. I will not shame myself. The elevator takes long minutes to ascend the main support to the bridge complex. The Wings of Deliverance is our mightiest vessel, a battle barge of great age. I am humbled by its majesty. At the top I'm met by members of the Shadow Conclave, our Lord's most trusted servants. They lead me silently along hushed ways. We pass the great doors to the primary bridge. They lead me upwards on sweeping stairs and usher me into the personal audience chambers of my Lord. The space is great, made all of dark stones and blackened iron. Nevertheless, the presence of my Lord Severax fills it utterly, from shadowy corner to gloomy embrasure. Severax sits upon a dark throne of onyx, the black chalcedony. Subtle bands of white compete with the hard highlights of the throne's carvings to confuse the eye. Much of his face is lost to darkness, yet I look upon it. He is a living idol to our lost Primarch. He is a true son of Korax. His skin is as white as pale stone. His hair as black as jet. His eyes are penetrating and black. His nose is aquiline. Features we all bear. But he is flawless, where the rest of us are as yet half-formed. 400 years of war have beaten the impurities out of him, as the impurities are beaten from the blade upon the anvil of the smith. He is our exemplar. He is the Raven. Shadow Captain K. Van Shrike is present. I'm surprised to see him, as he has been most active on the surface, bringing relief to our embattled brethren from the White Scars chapter. With him also are an Adeptus Mechanicus Magus, his red robes embroidered with the badges of the biologist sect. Beside him stands an Inquisitor I do not know, and have not seen before. This is no surprise. Their methods are even more secretive than ours. He is old by the standards of the ungifted, but his bearing is full of strength. His hand rests within the basket hilt of a power rapier, his off-white clothes the only sign of lightness in the chamber's gloom. Cybernetic pseudo-ravens flap overhead, cawing and whirring. Otherwise the chamber, its galleries and broad floor, fit to host half the strength of our chapter, is empty. "We greet you, Brother Sergeant Cornix," says Shrike to me. Severax does not speak. He sits and looks at me, the black coins of his eyes unreadable. I fall to one knee, the metal of my battle plate clunking on the black granite paving. I bow my head. I am honoured to be called to the presence of our Lord Corvin Severex, I say. Rise, Brother Sergeant, time is short, says Shrike. I comply. I am not aboard the Wings of Deliverance.
A flash of a dirty room in a city of metal. A mother's face. A father's sorrow. The sound of machinery is constant. The cry of young. Small spaces divided by dirty cloth. Danger is everywhere. The air smells of smelting and harsh chemicals. A young Gwela runs through dark streets, his feet swift, his eyes ever on the dark round of the moon looking down on his world.
Further pressure was applied here. The vision of the subject's past retreated. Truly, their worlds are squalid. I rise. Severex's eyes glint as he follows my movements. He is motionless. Our Lord has a mission of great sensitivity for you. A council of war is even now being convened. We speak to you first, brother, as your role is of the utmost importance. A hollow map comes to life in the air. It shows the entire front across the gulf. Multiple systems blink with red infographics denoting the presence of the Tau forces. Many more blink a sinister purple, showing the great swathe of worlds that have fallen to the aliens' false promises. It saddens me to see so many turn away from the Emperor's light. We will retake them all, and their populations we made to suffer for it once the Inquisition arrives. I pity them. Do they not see? It is true that this region of space is distant from Terra, and does not often see aid from the High Lords, but it is crucial. It is their duty to hold, no matter the cost. The cost for not doing so will be greater to them. Every crack in the fabric of the Imperium threatens to become a fissure. This cannot be allowed to happen. It is the duty of every citizen to make sure it does not. Shrike looks to Severex. There is a slight nod in reply.
Lord Severex has determined that this world is lost, Brother Sergeant, and the Dovar system entire. Already the outlying planets have fallen. A Grelin cannot hope to withstand the attack that is coming. Analysis of their doctrine suggests that the Tau would ordinarily bypass such a system, to return to it later once supply lines are cut. Surrounded, as populous a world as a Grelin cannot hold out. They would starve. But here, they have not the time.
The Tau seek to secure this system.
This kind of war here is not for the Tau's liking.
Shrike fixes me with his dark eyes.
Their ways are our ways, Brother Sergeant. The lightning strike.
The overwhelming application of force to vulnerabilities. A protracted ground campaign they prefer to avoid. It suits the Imperium better. But the Tau require this system as a staging point, and they will do all they can to seize it. Already their numbers far exceed ours, and more are coming.
Shrike bids the map to zoom in, showing the system. The densely populated cluster of worlds, the gap in the clouds, the Dovar gap. Nebulae Hem Dovar. The Tau's drives cannot pass easily through them.
It is the fortress gate in the walls of the Damocles Gulf, but we must abandon it, said Shrike.
Lord Severex has decreed it. I understand, Brother Shadow Captain. We will choose our battleground, not they. Already we have lost too many men battling over a Grelin.
The Tau are closer to home than we. They will likely exhaust their empire to take it.
Small as it is, the Tau's domain is vibrant and confident. Lose here and we lose the entire subsector. By the time a new crusade is prepared, they will be fortified and ready.
We will melt away and draw them where we will.
Elsewhere, we will break their assault, crush their main forces in a battle of our choosing, and then reclaim what is rightfully the Emperor of Mankind's. My lord, I say,
I am astonished that such information is shared with me.
I am telling you this, Brother Sergeant, because Lord Severax wishes you to go to the surface. Take your squad. You are to seize one of their number and deliver him to Inquisitor Gurlius and High Magos Biologian Tulk here. You wish me to snatch one of their leader caste. Consider it done, Shadow Captain. I will. Lord Severax chooses to speak. He leans forward in his throne, armoured hands gripping the carven rests. I see his face fully. His skin is as white as snow, his hair blacker than midnight.
You presume too much,
he admonishes me. His voice is little more than a whisper, but his criticism cuts me. I bow my head. I hang upon his every word.
Capturing their ethereals is nigh on impossible. Every attempt that has been tried has failed with great loss, said Severax. They will fight to the last to protect them. This task of which you speak we will save for another day. No. Your target is one of their emissaries. You will take one of them and bring him to us so that he might reveal the secrets of their persuasiveness.
He falls silent again. Our forces are sufficient to win this war, but we are losing many more worlds to the efforts of their diplomatic corps than we are to military action, continues Shrike. We are to be granted no more reinforcement for the foreseeable future. We cannot afford to become committed in one place while their emissaries talk the worlds of the Emperor out of his light. Capture one of these emissaries while they are distracted. While we are evacuating, you will be on Agrellon. This is a great honor.
We feel that they must have some kind of psychic or chemical hold over those they approach. How else can the number who capitulate be explained?
The biologian's artificial lungs wheeze as he speaks.
They need a live subject, adds Gallius. He must be delivered alive, do you understand, Sergeant? In order to verify our hypotheses, interrupts the biologian.
He shows insufficient respect to our lord. He does not acknowledge him before he speaks. This angers me. The Inquisitor is different. He shows deference, looking to Lord Severax before daring to speak. His face is lined with worry. It is the lot of the Inquisition to carry heavy burdens of knowledge and responsibility. Compared to my own duty to fight and die, his is onerous indeed.
We have further assets in play, says the Inquisitor, should you fail.
I will not fail, I say.
Might is not always the sharpest weapon, a truth your chapter exemplifies.
The Inquisitor paces around me slowly, looking me up and down.
We have an agent, a traitor among traitors, implanted with a tracer buried so deep that even the Tau will not find it.
Well, this is good, I say. He will deliver the emissary to us.
They may, says the Inquisitor, should it prove expedient. They have their orders, you have yours. Let us mesh them together for best effect. The one our agent guards. He is of particular interest to us.
Any will do,
interrupts Tulk. Gallius stares at the biologian. But this one is of particular interest. He turns back to me. If a direct assault does not succeed.
If the quarry goes to ground, flush him out.
And let one's hound chase it down, says the Inquisitor. He understands our ways.
Our exchange pleases my Lord Severax. There is a fleeting expression of approval on his otherwise still features. None but a brother of the Raven Guard would notice it.
I have it on good authority that you are becoming adept at our ways, Brother Sergeant, says Severax. You have been chosen because of Shadow Captain Shrike's personal recommendation.
Oh, to hear such words from my lord fills my heart with pride. I serve as best I can, Lord, I say.
Then serve us well, and deliver to us this war-talker, who poisons the minds of rightful men against the proper rule of the Lord of Mankind. This is your duty. Go now, and prepare.
I obey, and with alacrity. Later, I and Inquisitor Gallius will have further words, and our trap will be set.